All right, if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 98. Find your place if you please stand in reverence to God's holy word. Verse number 1 says, "O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. The righteous hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. From all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm. With trumpets and sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof, and the world that they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world, and the people with equity." Let us go to the Lord's word of prayer. Ask Brother David Smith if he would lift his voice and pray for us. Amen. You may be seated. Now it's said this psalm was an inspiration for one Isaac Watts, who wrote the hymn "Joy to the World." After studying this psalm, it's an interesting psalm here. As we see in the first couple verses, we see the Lord's might. Notice he's saying, "Sing unto the Lord a new song." Amen. We have a new song to sing, don't we? If we're saved, "For he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory." We look through history and we see a lot of things that happen and wonder, well, how did this happen and why did this happen and how could that person so evil come to power and how could this happen and that happen? And we always question things, but God's always in control. And when we study history, some of the things we learn, how God, you know, is moving behind the scenes and having things happen as they do happen. I think of one story of the attack of Pearl Harbor, that some of the Japanese, they were going to, after they attacked Pearl Harbor, they were going to go further, and for some reason they didn't. And had they done that, there might have been, you know, worse problems for America at that time. And it's amazing how God just seems to move behind the scenes. When Hitler, when he attacked Russia, he had 3 million soldiers go across into Russia, and he was conquering through there, and everything was going good for him. But then all of a sudden, you know what happened? He hit the cold weather of Russia in the winter, and that stalled their you know, pursuit of taking Russia over. And because of that, you know, he was defeated eventually. And you know, we just see how God sometimes works behind the scenes, and we just don't see it when we're studying to think that he killed all those Jews, but yet, you know, that nation survived. That's what Satan tries to do. Satan tries to attack God's people. All through history, you see that. He tried to destroy the Jewish people on more than one occasion, but God saw fit, amen, he wasn't through with Israel, still isn't through with Israel, and he saw fit to do that, to take care of them, amen. And so when we look at this, we think of his right hand and his holy arm, that he's gotten the victory. He wins every battle, amen, that he is after, he wins every battle, amen. And so we should sing, because of the Lord's might, we should sing a song. You know, we should sing unto the Lord a new song. And you know, he put that new song in our mouth when he saved us, amen. Psalm 40 tells us that. And so he says, "The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen." You think back, and he's talking about Israel here. You think back during Israel's time when some of those heathen nations that God destroyed and some of those other nations heard about it. You remember when they were getting ready to go out there, and they sent spies out and in Jericho, and that lady had heard, harlot, she had heard, hey, I heard about you guys. I heard about your God and what he's done. You know, the heathen hear about it, amen? You look today, how in the world can you explain the nation of Israel surrounded by all their enemies wanting to destroy them, annihilate them, and they can't do it? God. That's the way you explain it. You look at the world, the UN, just about every nation, it seems everything they bring up is against Israel, and with the exception of America, most of the time, everybody else is against them. Why? Because that's the world. Amen? They're God's chosen people, and people hate that. Amen? And so we see this over and over, and we just see how God has protected them. Throughout all the history, he's protected them. Amen? And through the Jewish line, through the Jewish race, he brought the Savior, the Messiah. Amen? Thank God for that. And because of that, now we've seen the salvation. Amen? The salvation that's offered to Jews, Gentiles, doesn't matter how rich, how poor, it doesn't matter. He died for all. And he offers it to all. Amen? And so, you know, we look in today's ages, and boy, I tell you what, you have all kinds of prejudices out there. God's not prejudiced. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad he didn't say, you know what, the only people I'm going to save is the Jewish nation. I'm not saving anyone else. Aren't you glad he didn't do that? Aren't you glad that he doesn't look and say, you know what, your parents or your grandparents didn't serve me, so I'm through with you. No, God's not like that. Amen. The payment of your sins, the payment of my sins, were paid on the cross in full. And all we have to do is to repent of our sins and trust him as our Savior. Amen? He's already done the work. Amen? Aren't you glad for that? So because of that, we should sing. Amen? His salvation has been revealed. Notice the next verse. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. He's a merciful God. You know, Israel rejected him, but he hasn't rejected Israel. He's put them off for now, but he's not through with them. Amen? But what I'm saying is he's a merciful God. Because if Israel, after what they did, as if Israel would have been wiped off the face of the earth by God, you know, it was his mercy that held that back. He could have done it. He had every reason to do it because of what they did to him. I mean, think about that. He's looking at them. The very person in Jesus Christ came to this earth to die for their sins, and they're rejecting him. They're spitting on him. They're plucking his beard out. Just think of the torture he went through, and there he is hanging on the cross. And what was his words? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know what that is? That's mercy. Amen? And I wonder now, when we look, if he's looking down at us right now, thank God he's looking down us and remembering his mercy. Because we don't deserve it. Not a single person in here deserves his mercy. But you know what? You can never run out of it. His grace never runs out. His mercy never runs out. Amen? Aren't you glad for that? And so here we see, listen, it tells us here, from all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Listen, they saw what happened in the Old Testament. They saw how Egypt had them in bondage and how God went through and did all them plagues and how God had them go through and opened up the Red Sea, and it passed over, and the waters came down on the enemy. Everybody hears about that. That's history. That's known history. And we see how Israel basically didn't believe God when he told them to go in the Promised Land. And they were worried, saying, you're going to kill our children. And God says, no, you're going to die, but your children aren't. Your children are going to be able to cross over. Amen? And so we see all the things God did in the Old Testament. And then we see that all this, all the Old Testament was pointing to Jesus coming the first time. Amen? And in the New Testament, that's what we read about is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the starting of the church. Amen? And so here we see all this going on. And this psalm kind of talks about His mercy. Remembering His mercy. For He hath remembered His mercy and His truth towards the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. And then here, because of that, because of the mercy that we've seen, that He not only showed on Israel, but us, this is what should be done. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Notice He didn't say Israel, He said all the earth. He's the Creator. He created this universe. Amen? Just for that fact alone, we should make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Notice the next part. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of the psalm, with trumpets, the sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. He is King, amen? He's Lord of Lords and King of Kings, amen? And so here we see that He's talking about the fact that He's given us this mercy. Every one of us, because of our sin nature, deserve hell. But He's kept us from going there. I think back in my life, and someone mentioned, I don't know if I heard it here, man, sometimes my mind, I no telling what. Someone was talking about how they, maybe it was Zeke. Didn't you say something, you almost drowned one time? You know what? I almost drowned one time when I was lost. And I think of certain times in my life where, you know what, I could have died there. I could have died here. And I'd have got exactly what I deserved, and that's hell. And some of you probably have some stories, too, of some things that happened in your youth that you could have died. And that you would have went exactly where you would have deserved to go. You know why you didn't go there? You know why I didn't go there? God's mercy. Amen? God's mercy kept us from going there. Amen? God's mercy. And then here we go to the next verse here in chapter Psalm 98, verse number 7. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Now he's talking about nature here. In other words, he's telling nature to praise God. Because what happened? When man fell, when mankind fell, what happened to the earth? It was put under a curse. But when He comes back, that curse is gone. Amen? So when He comes back, He's saying, not only should the people be praising Him, He's saying the earth should praise Him. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for He cometh to judge the earth. Think about that. He cometh to judge the earth. He's going to judge nations. He's going to judge people. And can I tell you this? The Lord is coming back to rule and reign for 1,000 years. It's called the millennial reign. During that time, amen, He will rule and reign and He will be faithful. As He always been. He's been faithful as my Savior. He's been faithful as my intercessor. And He'll be faithful as my Lord and King. Amen? He'll be a faithful judge. He will only give righteous judgment. Amen? Everybody will get what is rightfully their judgment. I deserve hell, yes. But because He died for my sins and I put my faith and trust in Him, amen, my sin's been paid for. So I'm found not guilty because of the righteousness of Christ. But those that reject them, Brother Gale, they're going to get their righteous judgment. They rejected the Savior. They rejected the only way they could go to heaven. So they're going to hell. God is not sending people to hell. People are going to hell because they refuse to repent of their sins and trust Christ as their Savior. Christ paid the price for everybody, but He will be faithful and He'll be fair. Every single person, no matter what their background, no matter what their family history is, no matter what wealth they had or wealth they didn't have, no matter what nationality, every single person that repented of their sins and trusted Christ as their Savior will go to heaven. And every single person that rejected Christ is going to go to hell. And that's fair. Because we all deserved hell. But He paid the price for everybody. Amen? He paid the price for everybody. But it is a gift. You can't earn it. I can't earn it. It's a gift. It's a gift He offers to you, to you, to you, to you. It's a gift He offered everybody. But you can't have the benefits of that gift unless you accept it. And that's the problem. There's a lot of people that haven't accepted it. Can I tell you this? There are people, Brother Juan, on this earth that say they believe in God, and I believe they believe in God, but they haven't trusted Him. And they're going to die, and they're going to go to hell. Having a head knowledge of God is not enough. You have to have a heart knowledge. Amen? You had to be convicted of the Holy Spirit, showing you were lost. And when we're talking about being repenting of your sins and trusting Christ as your Savior, it's being you're remorseful. What scares me is when I see people that are saved now that lived in the world and they want to sit there and brag about the sins they used to do. And I don't see any remorse in it. That scares me. Because you know what? When all of a sudden this book was being preached, the Holy Spirit got a hold of my heart and I saw how wicked and ungodly a person I was. And you know, today, when this word's being preached, I still see how wicked and ungodly I am. Amen? I'm still a rotten sinner, but I'm saved. Amen? I'm forgiven. That's the difference. We've been forgiven. We're still sinners. We still sin, but we've been forgiven. Amen? Aren't you glad? Listen, a lot of people look at Adam when we try to explain that when Adam fell, the whole mankind fell. And people say, that's not fair. It's fair. Because if we were in the same situation, we'd have done the same thing. That's human nature. Amen? But the thing is, by having the one that represented us, the second Adam, Jesus Christ, one could pay the price for all of us. Amen? God in the flesh. If He was not God, if people refuse to say He's God, they're in trouble because without Him being God, He couldn't die for our sins. He'd have been just like you and me because we have that Adamic nature. It's in our blood. But He didn't have a human father. Amen? The Holy Spirit overshadowed her. Amen? God is the Father. And so because of that, He had God's blood. He didn't have mankind's tainted blood. And we just need to remember, He is coming back. Amen? He is coming back. You know, people say, well, I don't believe it. It doesn't matter what you believe. He's coming back. Amen? He's coming back. And it's us that need to start praising Him more. It's pretty sad. We'll think of any excuse in the book not to go to church. And why should we be here? What are we here for? To talk about Him. To praise Him. To learn more about Him. He said, learn of me. Amen? He wants us to learn more. Where are we going to learn it? Are you going to learn it going out to eat somewhere? Are you going to learn it going all kinds of different places? No, this is where you're going to learn it. With the Word of God, amen? With the Word of God being preached and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, where two or three are gathered in my name. He's in the midst of us, amen? If you came in His name, amen? He's here. He's here right now. We can't fathom the richness, the majesty of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, before the Lord, for He cometh to judge the earth, with righteousness shall He judge the world and the people with equity. That should remind us that we as Christians need to live right before the Lord to be a witness for other people. I tell you what, I don't know about you, but it seems every day I turn on the news and is there ever any good? Hardly ever do they talk about anything good. It's always this bad thing happened, this bad thing happened, this bad thing happened, this bad thing happened, this bad thing happened. And you just shake your head and say, what is going on? I'll tell you what's going on. The Bible is coming true. In the last days, things will wax worse, meaning they'll grow worse. It'll get worse and worse. It's not going to get better. You mean we can't have revival? Yes, we can have revival. But the world as a whole will get worse and worse and worse. And you know what I find out? I find out the worse the world gets, the darker it gets. And you know what? A light is more visual the darker it gets. You know what I'm talking about? If I turned all these lights out and I flipped them back on, you know, your eyes would go like, wait a minute. But if you go, have any of you ever went in a cave or a cavern? How many of you have done that? I mean, it's pitch. You can't see. You can put your hand here and not see it. Right? When you've been there 30, 40 minutes, 50 minutes, and then all of a sudden you come out to the light, doesn't that just your eyes like, ah, right? The world needs to look at us and go, ah. It's one thing when everything is totally pitch black like this. It's one thing like that. Well, we got a few lights on. What I'm saying is a little dark there. Well, that's a little more light. But when everything, if those lights were out, if everything was pitch black and all of a sudden I went like that, you'd see a big difference. But if all I add is a little light here and a little light here and a little light here, you really don't see much difference. You see a little, but not much. That's what the world's seeing right now. They're looking at us and it's like, well, something's different. Something's different about them. But pretty much they're the same as us. But when we live this Bible, when we bring this Bible to life, they run into us and they go, oh! Like, whoa, wait a minute. I mean, it's a peculiar people. There's something really different about them. That's the way it should be. That's the way God wants it to be. He's coming. He came once. He said He was coming then. And He's coming again. He came the first time. He's coming the second time. Because He's coming the second time, if you're saved, if you're born again, praise the Lord for it. You're not going to hell. There are some of your friends, some of your family. Are they saved right now? If the Lord came back right now, would they go to heaven? You know what? God sometimes uses us to reach them. If they're looking at us and saying, "Yeah, no difference." Instead of, boy, man, I didn't feel bad about doing this, but when I'm around them, I don't want to do it. You know, that's a good sign you're having an effect on people. When all of a sudden they start apologizing to you for sinning. Now, listen, they're wrong. They don't need to apologize to me. They need to apologize to God. But you know what? That lets you know. I never thought of it. You know, when I'd play ball and try to witness to those people, you know, I never thought about it because none of them were all of a sudden coming to church with me the next week or anything like that. But every once in a while, they'd say a curse word and look, "Oh, I didn't see you there, Mark. I'm sorry." I didn't think much of it then, but you know what? That was good they were doing that. And then later, seeing a couple of them that come to me afterwards, and guess what happened to me? You got saved. "Yeah, how'd you know? You look different to me." When every other word out of their mouth was a curse word, and all of a sudden now they could actually talk in sentences without having to use one. They could go paragraphs without using one curse word. I never thought I'd see the day that they'd do that. Right? That's why we need to be that way. When people come around you, they're lost at school, they shouldn't go, "Eh." They should go, "Oh, whoa, man." They start cussing and they see you, "Oh, I'm sorry." You know what? That's having an effect. You're having an effect on them. Now they shouldn't apologize to you. They should apologize to God. But that's what we should do. We should live our lives so good that we're that light that all of a sudden the world has to take notice of it. Because He's coming again, and we don't know when He's coming. But He is coming. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to get in Your Word tonight. And Lord, You are a merciful God, a gracious God. And Lord, while people look and see the world as it is today, thinking, you know what? This world's out of control and there's nothing. No, You're in control. As bad as it is getting, You are still in control. And we as God's people need to realize that. We need to praise Your name no matter what happens. We need to praise Your name knowing that You're coming soon. But in the fact that we know that You could come at any moment, we need to live this Bible. We not only need to say it, we need to live it. We need to be that witness that people take notice. Wow, what a difference. This altar is open. Maybe you just want to come and thank Him. When's the last time you thanked God for your salvation? Maybe you just want to thank Him for your salvation. Maybe you just want to come here and praise Him for who He is. The fact that He created the universe. He's holy. Amen? He deserves our praise. He's holy. He's the King of kings and He's the Lord of lords. We need to praise Him. But I wonder if there's some people in the sound of my voice that would say, "You know what? I know He's holy. I know He's King of kings. I know He's Lord of lords. But I haven't been the faithful witness I need to be to bring others to Christ." Maybe you need to come to this altar and say, "God, with Your help, by Your strength, by Your power, I want to make a difference. I want people to see a big difference between me and people of this world." You come. If you're here, you've never trusted Christ, your Savior, why don't you come to this altar? We'll raise your hand. We'll have someone take the Bible, show you how to be saved. You just mind God. Whatever God has told you to do, you do.